This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
You're a survivor, aren't you, Sydney? Your one and only skill, you survive. Well, I have one question for you. What good is it to be a survivor in this little drama if everyone close to you is dead? You're a fighter, Sid.
Welcome back to the Kill Dead Podcast. I'm your host, Brain. Tonight, I'm joined by my internet co-host. We have Brandon. We have Devin. What's going on, gentlemen?
What's popping?
Hello.
So we are gathered for this Kill Shot episode. Once again, Twitter is erupting. I don't really get news from other places. Deadline, Twitter, and Bloody Disgusting as far as horror goes.
And IneedYouJesse.com.
And IneedYouJesse.com. Oh, shit.
Great news spot.
And IneedYouJesse.com. But as most of you know, or maybe didn't know, or about to find out, thanks for listening and tuning in, Neve Campbell has officially joined the Scream roster. She is coming back to Woodsboro. What are you guys' initial reactions?
I am shocked. Just shocked beyond belief.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
I don't know how to put it into words right now. Sorry. Give me a second. So, I just didn't think that she would like even have any desire to come back at all. To be honest.
It's got to be hard because the 90s were a fantastic time for Neve Campbell. She had Party of Five. She had the cult classic The Craft. And she had Scream.
And Drowning Mona.
And I'm going to keep going. I can't even keep straight. So it's got to be hard to, you know, constantly, I assume whatever's going on with The Craft, people approached her. I'm sure there have been some ill-fated attempts to reunite Party of Five. She has done other work, by the way. I'm just highlighting the 90s and or my youth, however you want to call it. But we have Sydney Prescott, and I don't think people could be happier. I did originally read this on Bloody Disgusting, and they have a quote from her. Quote, after spending time speaking with Radio Silence, they have shown such love, respect, and admiration for Wes Craven and all that he's created in the Scream franchise. I'm beyond excited to step back into the role of Sydney Prescott and return to Woodsboro. Now, again, this is the second confirmation that we are going to Woodsboro. Something is bringing everyone back. Dewey may have never left, as he will be Sheriff Riley, possibly still living at home with Tatum's twin sister. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But my first question to you two gentlemen is, do you think Gale and Dewey are still together?
Yes.
Brandon, you had quite a strong yes. Care to elaborate?
Oh, no. I already know there's just going to be some craziness that's going to happen, and that's just me just predicting this. That's all.
You know what? It would be interesting if they weren't married or together in this new movie. And possibly if Dewey and Sydney got together because the seeds were planted in Scream 4. But it's also interesting that David Arquette and Courtney Cox's relationship has sort of mirrored their characters in Scream. Whereas in the first one, there was a lot of flirting going on. In the sequel, they were sort of together. In the third one, at least at the end of the third one, it's implied that they got married, which they did actually in Part 4. But as we know, they divorced shortly after Part 4 came out. So I wonder if their characters are going to just be still on friendly terms the way Courtney and David are. but just, you know, friends at this point.
I like that you bring up the possibility of Dwight and Sydney.
you refuse to call him Dewey.
I he has been the constant reliable figure in her life throughout these four films, and I'm sure character backstories, they've remained friends over this time, and is probably the only person to have some type of genuine love for her and not try to kill her. So I'm real time exploring what you said in my head, and I think it could be interesting if they were to go that route.
Yeah.
I just expect things to throw me against the wall, and then you guys have elaborate plots and schemes. Thanks for making me look bad.
Sorry, Brandon.
Y'all are rude.
Please excuse me. I think that we could assume that it'll be a point of contention in the film in some way, shape, or another. Like, I would love for Gail to come back to Woodsboro, and the first thing Officer Riley says is, "Hey, Gail, nice hair." You know, just a little fan service. But other things, for me, the biggest fan service of them all that has yet to, I honestly thought that we would get this before we got Nev, is what are we doing with Kirby? I need Hayden to come back. I know in my heart of hearts she wants to come back. So
Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know. What was that show she was on? Tennessee or Knoxville or something like that?
Nashville.
Mm. Nashville's in Tennessee. I had it almost. But she's got to want to do something. I think the fans would appreciate it.
Oh.
Be on the lookout for a new Kill the Dead Kirby t-shirt. That's in the works. I think that it would just make me happy. But I know I'm not the only fan
that's
out
selfish.
There.
That's so selfish.
I couldn't think of a clever way to say it. I just got to be honest. I love that character.
Yeah, she made a huge impact on the Scream franchise so late in the run that I would love to see her back in a new one.
Yeah, I don't want the script to leak, but if we know anything from the directors or the team, Radio Silence, Mac Olipin and Tyler Gillette, you guys know me and pronunciation, so don't even worry about it. they're good at misdirections.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the synopsis that they gave is just another part of the Scream legacy. Multiple scripts were made. This is what we're telling the public. We're going to shoot these two sequences, and we'll see what we end up with at the end, just to keep everyone guessing, prevent leaks. Because I also almost feel like, if you guys recall back in May, Nev Campbell did do an interview where she said she was in talks with them. So it made me believe, at the very least, it's like, I'm coming back, but I'm not supposed to say it yet because it's not final. And that them holding off to announce her was just a ramp up. I believe production starts in 2 weeks. If you guys are listening to this in real time, it's September 11th. So I think some of it's publicity, and maybe Nev spilled the beans a little too early. But it also makes me think, what do you think Sidney Prescott could do? Because they also announced, I'm not even going to name them, but they announced like four other actors today as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I only know of the guy from 13 Reasons Why. I don't even know his name.
Dylan Minnette.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's good looking, so fine. Dylan Minnette. but I really feel like they're gearing it up for teenagers. Like, this film will be a transfer And we may, as adults, lose interest in this franchise if you were too old.
What makes you say that part specifically?
Because they've gone for seriously young actors. Like, I know Jack Quaid's doing The Boys right now, and I've seen Jenna Ortega before, excuse me. But as far as the other kids, like, they are legit kids. They aren't 25-year-olds playing 17-year-olds or 40-year-olds playing, what was that, 90210 type roles?
Well, I think it looks like a nice mix because they also announced, like, Marley Sheldon's coming back.
Again, legacy here.
Right, and then, like, Kyle Gallner, he's as old as us, with all the respect. He's going to be in it. We know him from Nightmare on Elm Street Remake and Dear White People, the movie.
Oh, even, I was wondering who that. He looked familiar, but, like, his profile picture is so, like, Cyrano de Bergerac means a serial killer.
Yeah, it's coming from Hunting in Connecticut. Jasmine Brown, who was the lead of some... I think the show All Rise, which is a Shonda Rhimes show. So they got some older people, but we also have like Mason Gooding, who's really good on Love, Victor. He's also Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son, who's, I think he would fall into the younger category, like you were saying, Gray, because he could easily play a high schooler.
And it's all fine. I'm not saying we can't have young cats. But I think, what am I trying to say here? I think before, when you had magic in a franchise, it was kind of people who were like working, doing good things, not like Samaritans. You know, if you think about the first Scream, Nev was busy. David Arquette just comes from royalty of actors. I don't know if... I was going to say Tatum. I can't think of her real name right now.
Rose McGowan. Okay, no.
Yeah. Rose McGowan. I guess she wasn't as... But she did get killed off pretty soon. Courtney Cox was coming from Friends franchise or success. So I think that maybe it's my own ignorance even of not knowing these kids' body of work. Mm-hmm. Or because people were coming from other hit things at the time, it was easier to relate, and that was the formulated thing at the time. Like Matthew Lillard, I loved Hackers. I'd probably watch that VHS 30, 40 times. Rented it every time from Blockbuster because I didn't think I could buy the movie.
Yeah. It was also just kind of a different time, too, because like you said, a lot of like Matthew Lillard and Rose McGowan, and even David Arquette, they were more indie film darlings. Like they were mostly known more so for indie films than mainstream films. And like with this new generation, I'm familiar with some of them, but I'm also not the target audience for a lot of the work they've been in. And I remember thinking that in Scream 4, with the intro, where there were a lot of I would say like bigger names or noted names in the opening sequence. But they were in stuff that I was too old to be the target demographic for. Like Pretty Little Liars and the 90210 reboot and shit like that. So we're just getting old.
I wholeheartedly think that is a part of it too. Because even aside from Hayden and Emma Roberts, I could not tell you. I know the Pretty Little Liar girl who you're talking about, but I don't know her name. Like, that was it. It was Kieran Culkin. The rest of it was a wash for me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. The franchise survives, and people really go for it. It's all for the best. And, of course, the original characters are all in or approaching their 50s. So it's not like they can keep, Scream 6, Sydney survives again. Like, Sydney's running out of relatives at this point.
Yeah, you know what? And that was my issue because when Scream 4 came out, it was supposed to be the launch of a new trilogy. And when the movie ended, I'm thinking, this is before Scream 5 and 6 were officially canceled. I'm thinking, like, well, where else can they go with the story? Like, everyone in Sydney's life is trying to kill her. It's just going to become redundant at this point. You know, we need some fresh meat in this franchise.
I've never looked at it, but I do know that Kevin Williamson wrote a different script and he lost out on that situation.
Okay.
I'm not well versed at how his story ended, but I know that it's like Jason Takes Manhattan. What was pitched and what was shot, two different films.
Yeah, I know, I like Hugh Gray, I haven't read the original script either, but I do remember hearing or reading that like Hayden Panettiere's character was much larger in the original script. So he could have also been sort of positioning her to become the new lead in the series, like we all want.
Yeah, grooming us for her to take over.
Yeah, I like Hayden. She's
Brandon. Brandon, let me ask you this. Where do you see Sydney's character going? Is she the savior of the film? Is she the magical white Negro? I'm not even sure if we can say that. but like, what do you picture her character doing in this film? Brandon? Okay, maybe we've lost Brandon.
Since he's muted.
Oh, is he muted?
Oh, all right. Goodness, huh? Huh? Who? What?
I was asking.
Got outside. That's why. I'm sorry.
Oh, I got you. I was asking, where do you think the character of Sidney Prescott goes in Scream 5, Scream Reboot, whatever we want to call this film? What would be the purpose of having her return to Woodsboro under your own guise?
I mean, oh God, I have my microphone. So let's think about what reasons do we have for her to really come back. How can I put this? I'm trying to English right now and it's failing. The problem is that her coming back makes sense in every logical way as a character to me. The actor, I don't know why she would come back.
Well, it's interesting that you say you don't know why she would come back, because I was thinking a similar thing of, how many times can we watch Sydney survive? Like, she is the apex final girl, as far as I'm concerned. No disrespect to Laurie Strode, but Sydney has been in every installment of the franchise versus Laurie has not. Speaking of which, side note, did you guys know there was an actual script to Resurrection 2? Halloween Resurrection 2?
Wait, really?
A sequel to Halloween Resurrection?
Like, yes.
That was a real thing?
Let me go ahead and look this up.
And then it was completing the trilogy. So H2O Resurrection and Halloween 8 or Resurrection 2 would exist in the same universe.
Interesting. Okay, I gotta look that up.
Freddy dies in the first 15 minutes.
Good.
Anyway, I digress.
Is that a real freaking thing?
Someone really wrote this, yes. And it was an option for a while. And then I guess it got canceled and they gave the rights to Rob Zombie.
Huh,
I'm making that last part up. I'm just going by what happened. I don't know all the real stuff behind the scenes.
I wanted to finish that thought, is that and this is just way less. I'm hoping that there's a part of me that's hoping that maybe they can give her character as the final girl closure by letting her not fucking live through the whole thing.
I'm glad you say that.
The title.
Because I've heard a large outcry of people saying it is horrible to bring Sydney back just to kill her off. But I think anything
I disagree wholeheartedly.
It depends on execution, right?
Yeah.
If anything we've learned from the Scream franchise is that it's very meta. So I assume that if part four was addressing all the remakes, this film has to be addressing all the course correction or all the canon sequels. Scream included Halloween 2018. I hear RoboCop's getting a treatment. We just had it for Terminator. It's what? Impossible. RoboCop? Yep.
Oh, there's my childhood heart just got so freaking happy. Holy crap.
So I think that it would be impossible for the Radio Science team to ignore this on Scream. And as well as, well, the character, the lead character, or the final girl in these scenarios, aside from Murphy, always comes back in Avengers just like Laurie did. So, coupled with Radio Silence misdirection. So, I'm talking about, let's say, Scream 5, spoiler alert, in case you don't want to hear my fucking crackpot theories, this is your time to turn it off. We see the situation where Neve Campbell, Sydney Prescott, makes her screen debut. She intercepts a situation as the badass that she is. And then, however poetically you make this happen, like, it's not Ghostface that kills her. Like, she just saved the kids from whatever, and then a bus takes her out Final Destination style. Like, something that you're not expecting. Or if you guys saw The Invisible Man, the way that they slit her throat at dinner, or his throat. Like, it was just like, you weren't expecting that. You didn't think that would happen. I thought personally it was a dream sequence. But no, this throat slashing really just happened broad daylight and dinner. Not broad daylight, but in the middle of everyone at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sydney would get a similar send-off.
Hmm. I want her to live. I'm gonna take the minority sense. I want her to live because we follow her trajectory since for over 20 years now, and it just seems
25.
Yeah. Like I don't want her to die. I feel like Scream 5 should be the last movie that the core three are in. I'm not saying they all have to get killed. I'm sure one of them would get killed, but I don't think they all. I don't want to go through the negotiations again for Scream 5, 6, and 7. Is Neve Campbell coming back? Is David Arquette coming back? At that point, it's who cares. But I would like for Sydney and or either Dewey or Gail to have a nice send-off. Maybe they go into like a witness protection program or go live on an island or some shit. I don't know. But I want them to sort of evade this terrorism that's been plaguing their lives for 25 years. And we can focus on the new generation for the next series of films. And I also don't see why Neve Campbell and Courtney Cox would come back after just to get killed off in this movie. I could see if we're talking Scream 5 came out a year or two after Scream 4, but it's been a decade since the last one. So it just seems kind of a ripoff to come back and get killed off.
I think that's exactly why they would do it. I think that that's what's taking so long is she's been negotiating her own screen death.
Hmm.
She might even get a producer credit or something like that this time around.
Okay, you want to hear my quick take on that?
Go for it.
I think that Neve Campbell was the very first person signed on for this movie. I think she was signed on from the very beginning, but there was an NDA saying, hey, we can't, you know, don't say anything until such and such date. We want to lock everyone else in. Because
I think so too.
Yeah, because the script would be heavily altered if she just said, you know what, I'm not going to do the movie now. I know you got Courtney and Dave back and all these other people. I'm just not going to do it. We would have a very different script that may push production back even further. She's been here from the beginning.
I don't doubt that she's been there from the beginning, because in order for them to even approach her, it would have had to have been a script with her included, correct? So right. To even start announcing people, I think David Arquette was announced a week and a half after that interview went public. So I don't doubt that, but I do think she exercised more control in what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because it would be too easy and too traditional for them to kill off Gail or Dewey. Dewey's already died once, technically.
And what would be the point in bringing Gail and Dewey back if you can't get Sydney to come back? Who wants to see that? It's like the weird season of Saved by the Bell where, like, Kelly and Jesse weren't on, and we had to pretend like they exist, but not in these episodes.
Yeah.
You know. The Tory paradox.
Oh, my God. All right. I mean, obviously, time will tell. And these theories get changed as time goes on. The final thing I want to get to is one thing that people have been arguing about as well across the internet, and that is the release date. A lot of people feel like this film is being dumped in January. I'm not a subscriber to that. I think that this franchise is strong enough to go on its own. And historically, aside from Scream 4, it's always been a winter release. Which I don't really get into the numbers too often. But Scream 4 is actually the weakest in the franchise as far as finances go. Mm-hmm. And that was a spring release. So I don't think that the franchise is going to be hindered by the dumping ground. I mean, if you look at the movies that came out this year in January, it's like, holy shit. The one with, what's Bella Swan's real name?
Oh, who?
Bella Swan, American Sweetheart. The actress of this generation.
Oh, Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart. The movies were so bad that that movie looked great.
Was it the one where she was underwater?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, what did you say? No?
All right. I had myself muted again. I'd always do that shit. I was like, who are you even talking about right now? And then when he said Kristen Stewart, I was like, oh, her. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Her.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the movie's not going to come out in 2021 because everything else is coming out in 2021. So it makes sense the film was pushed into 2022. I was actually one of the critics who said, why are you releasing this movie in January? That's the dumping ground. I'm going to tell myself, I'm going to read myself for a second here and say, are you not going to see the movie because it's coming out in January? It's Scream 5. What's wrong with you? You're never going to see it. So stop bitching. That's my, that's me reading myself.
You feel very strongly about, do you want to talk, do you need a hug?
I do, actually.
It sounds like it, damn.
Yeah, we're going to go see it. Why are we bitching about it?
I mean, that is large in part true. Like, same here. There's nothing that's going to stop me from seeing this movie. There's nothing that's going to stop me from seeing Candyman when that happens.
Right. We're not talking like The Boy 3, like a franchise that was shaky to begin with. We're talking Scream.
Exactly. And I'm realizing that Scream is probably the most adored franchise. It is Wes Craven's gift to the world, is that he found a way to best Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, a lot of people love that movie. But as far as popular culture goes, there are more people in the world that I believe have watched Scream through and through than every single Nightmare on Elm Street.
Really?
100%.
Huh.
Well, I mean, if you just think about it, a side-by-side thing of in the 80s when Nightmare was new, a lot of us people who are now... For a lot of kids who are now in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, saw that film and aren't now partaking in that obsession as a large mass. It's just a small percentage that stayed in horror, let's say. Versus Ghostface lives and breathes pop culture. Like, I don't know the last time you saw a relevant Freddy meme, but people are producing Ghostface stuff
monthly. Every day.
To be clear, and to clarify something you said earlier, I'm still in my 30s. I just want to put that out there.
You're holding on to that.
I didn't hear anything else you said after that. I was like, wait a minute, I'm still in my 30s.
I'm in my 20s. And he's like, I'm like, no, hold on. Calm down.
Or does span generationally. Some people older than younger. Some people younger than older. But I, as far as a director or a master of horror, Wes Craven gave us two great franchises, and I'm appreciative of both. And as to where I will throw on Nightmare while doing a conference call, that's a lie. I watched Scream today. Never mind. Pluck it. I was watching Scream before Ash even sent the message in Slack. Like, it was just, it was on. I was like, I haven't seen Drew Barrymore in a minute.
I'm going to sound real disrespectful right now when I say this, but just follow my path. Okay. Nightmare on Elm Street is my favorite movie of all time. So therefore the franchise is my favorite franchise of all time. Mm-hmm. I think the franchise stayed fresh because for better or worse, new ideas and creators were brought in with every subsequent, you know, with every sequel, with the exception of 3 and The New Beginning. But there was kind of a fresh take. Different writers, different directors. Scream, always until part 5, always had the same director, but the strength of Scream was also equally given to the script. I remember watching Scream 4 in theaters and saying to my partner, I said, hey, if they, when they do Scream 5, they should probably get a new director. And I know it sounds kind of fucked up to say considering Wes Craven has passed away, but I do remember a couple of kill sequences. I'm thinking they could have gone harder with that. And I don't think it's a matter of like the MPAA's interference. I just think you need a fresh take on this material. As much as I adore Scream 4 and Wes Craven, I that's part of why I'm really looking forward to Scream 5, because I want to see a new take on this property just to keep it fresh.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you.
But do you think some of that is just disruption? It's kind of like Scream 3 was a similar thing where it was pitched one way and then the final product was completely different. Do you think that some of that hindered what Wes could do as a director?
No. No, because even with, like, I guess I'm just going on, you're watching, if you watch all 4 films in a row, there's a very specific beat that they all follow in terms of what we see. And that's great. I mean, that's a sign of a wonderful director, of course. But it also, I just remember with part 4 thinking we need someone younger and fresher in this. Because a lot of the kills, and even some of the characterizations, which may or might not be entirely Wes's fault, but some of the characterizations just felt stunted and felt like they were coming from someone from a different time. I'm going to get so much hate letters, so much hate mail for that, but...
Oh, I mean, it's an interesting idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it just stayed stagnant. Like, it was someone from a different generation saying, this is how you create art. And it's like, no, you could have, I don't know, gone further. And again, I don't know what conversations have happened between Wes Craven and the MPAA and even the directors or the editing people, but it was just, there was something that was lacking with the last couple screens. And it wasn't really the script, it was just what I saw on screen.
Well, maybe... So,
hopefully I like Scream 5.
Yeah, I mean, it could just depend on the duo, right? Like, I remember hearing about, I want to say earlier this year, even Screen Rant or Deadline or Bloody Disgusting or I Need You Jesse.com made an article about Hellraiser Halloween crossover that was pitched and maybe even green-lighted as far as Clive Barker signed on to write and John Carpenter signed on to direct. Like, that's how close it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine, like, a duo like that are either going to hate each other or they're going to make a fucking kick-ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you fit either one of those people into their roles. Like, I think, I hate to go horror comedy with it, I think I would like to see a Freddy versus Pinhead, because they both talk.
Yeah.
And they both like to torture.
There would be a lot of trash talking in that. And I'd be very happy.
Yeah, we could find out if Pinhead even dreams. Like, does he sleep? Like, how would Freddy get to him? Anyway, any fans listening out there, please write it and send your ideas over to Brother Ghoulish.
Do y'all know what would make a really kick-ass crossover?
Lay it on me.
Ghostface versus the Slicker from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It had to be a period piece. I only want it to take place in the 90s. But I like that idea. Yeah.
Maybe a prequel with Sarah Michelle Gellar somehow involved.
I'm game if you figure out a way to bring her back.
You know,
I wonder if she would do it.
Or a mashup between Sarah Michelle Gellar's Helen and Courtney Cox's Gail Weathers. I don't know what movie that is. If it's a horror movie, a comedy, I don't give a shit. I just want those two characters in the same movie.
Oh my God. And if Helen was still a pageant queen, mm-hmm. Gail would be in the audience. Get your fat tub of lard ass off the stage.
But that's the thing, is that, all right, no, you'd be drinking the cheapest box wine that you could find while you're washing that too.
Yeah. Yes, I would.
That would be clutch. Oh, my voice is going. All right, well, that's going to do it for our take on the Scream 5 news. Devin, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, at I Need You Jesse. All one word. And you can catch me at IneedYouJesse.com. And you can catch me at SomethingGhoulish.com.
And Brandon, you made this fantastical thing on the internet servers of Hollywood. I don't know how to talk it up. But tell us about our Discord channel.
Oh, yeah, that thing. So, we have a Discord channel. I set it up over the past week or two. Mostly setting up so that way we can actually have people come in and like hang out with us and things like that. We can play games. We can do whatever that you guys want to do. Whatever you put in, that's what you get out of it. We want to be able to have a nice little environment going on, a little spooky environment. So the invite should be invite should be on Twitter. And yeah, if you need it, you can also find me on Twitter at BXC513. And just, yeah, hit me up there and I got you.
Yeah, I'll drop a link in the show notes as well. So if you guys, whatever's easier, drop down there, get on Twitter. You can find us as well as, actually, that's fucking it. So look out. We have a couple things planned for this spooky season. A couple of collabs that we're working out, as well as don't forget to get your new Candyman 2020 t-shirt available at TeePublic. That'll be down in the show notes as well. And good night, folks.